Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 20th of December. We're going to talk about giving this hour of the program. And we have as our guest Peggy Post, Emily Post's great-granddaughter-in-law. She is the director of the Emily Post Institute and author of more than a dozen etiquette books. She writes a monthly column in Good Housekeeping magazine and a biweekly online column in the New York Times called The Well-Mannered Wedding. It's a good time, I think, of year to talk about gifts. I know many of you have done gift purchasing already, and some of you may be, as I am, not quite there yet. But we'll take it in a variety of directions. We'll look at people who may not be receiving gifts during the holidays, and you could make a difference in their lives. Should you buy gifts for people at work? What was the best gift you ever gave in your whole life? How do you, as one of our office workers this morning, who just gave a gift to another office worker, and it was a great gift, and she said she pays attention to people's lives, and if you pay attention, you probably know what a good gift would be. We'll be welcoming phone calls. I hope we have many of them. We could use a conversation that's just from the heart and of goodness in this world. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page, if you'd like to leave messages on this topic there, is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Peggy Post, thank you very much for being with us. Happy holidays.
Well, thank you, Kathleen. I'm really looking forward to joining you.
Yeah, I think we'll have a good hour. I'm sure we'll have a good hour. I just have to tell this little story, which is one of the best gifts I ever received. I kind of am into Facebook, I must say, and I found a Facebook friend about a year ago who has the same name that I do.
Oh.
And she lives in Scarborough, England. And we've been back and forth. And at one point she said, "We just got these new tea cakes in our local shop that had been off the market for a long period of time." And I wrote back to her and said, "Oh, those sound delicious. I have a big sweet tooth." And she said, "I'll send you some." And I said, "Only if I can send you something in return." So a couple weeks ago, this package comes from Scarborough, England, filled with tea cakes, calendars of Scarborough, goodies, caramel goodies, all these wonderful presents from somebody I don't even know, really. Isn't that a wonderful story?
That is. It's a great Facebook story and a great just humanity story.
I know. And it got me thinking about all of those people, and particularly after this week, a lot of people are thinking about being kind to other human beings. And there's something to be said for random acts of giving.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It makes everybody feel good.
Yeah, it does. What philosophies do most of us operate on when we do giving at the holidays? Do we go back to the way we gave when we were given to as children?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I think a lot of people do think back on what their traditions were. And then we all have new traditions. As our world changes and our circumstances change, of course, we'll morph into a certain way of giving. But I think simple is on a lot of people's minds, just the basics. It is true that the thought really does count. So I always say one of the most important things is think about what that recipient might like. Do some homework. Be a good detective. Keep your radar on so you can see what they might enjoy.
Mm-hmm. I won't ask you right now, but I want you to think about maybe the favorite gift or gifts that you ever gave in your life, because I'm sure that you have some good ones. We frequently don't give that way, though. We don't pay attention to what it is people love.
Right. I think we're such a busy, busy world out there. So many people run around, and I think it grounds all of us to think about giving to somebody else. So it's really important to be looking ahead, I think. I try to do that in the holidays. I'm usually traveling in November and December, so I try to keep my eyes open throughout the year. I'm certainly far from perfect in doing that or anything else, but it does help to try not to wait until the very last minute. And then it's really enjoyable. You focus on that person.
Right. And it's always good to have some gifts. My mother always did this. She always had some gifts in the house.
That's a good idea. As long as if you do end up pulling one of those gifts off the shelf, stop and think, is this something that person might like?
That's true.
that's to go back to that core, that basic question.
What about giving to people who perform vital services in our lives, Emily? People who deliver our mail, maybe who leave us a newspaper every day. Right. Is it appropriate to give them gifts? Is it a good thing to do? And is it appropriate to give those people money?
Well, it certainly is appropriate to thank anybody who provides a service and takes care of you throughout the year. It's become a part of our culture. It is a custom. Most people like to do that. There are the cynics who say, well, I don't like to do it. It's like a bribe. Or if I don't tip my a newspaper delivery person, then he or she will throw it into the bushes. But most people like to give something. And I always say, remember to say thank you. That's what the gift is all about. And as far as cash, I'd say the majority of service providers appreciate receiving cash. But a little gift along with the cash is fine. A gift instead is fine. There are certain guidelines. One is for the U.S. Postal Service. The Postal Service people are not supposed to accept gifts at one time that are valued more than $20. And they're really not supposed to accept cash, but a lot of mail carriers do. And also with teachers, a lot of schools have policies about gifts. Generally, it's important to check to see what the policy is.
Mm-hmm.
But,
sorry.
When giving a gift, and we have a guideline on emilypost.com as far as what some of the averages are and some of the people to think about throughout the country, but base your gift on how long you've worked with that person, of course, the quality of service. Are you tipping a lot throughout the year? You can put that down a little bit. Base it on, really, be smart about your budget and what is the custom in your area. And the whole thing is to say thank you. So if you put some cash out, if you want to give that person something, put the cash in a card and say, thank you so much for taking such great care of me throughout the year. It's really about a thank you.
And how many of us do that? How many of us actually thank those people?
Oh, I'd say surveys will say at least half of people. But yes, and not every single service provider. And it really varies across the board as far as where you live. Big cities tend to have a little higher as far as amounts of money if people are giving cash. And it's also tricky in the business world. A lot of companies will not allow their employees to accept gifts. Or gifts over a certain amount. They'll have a cap of, say, $25 or $30. Find out, again, what the policies are. And the whole idea is to say thank you. So you might say thank you in a card instead of in a gift, especially in the business world.
Right. What about family members who may express, because they have a lot or they're young people and they prefer to have money so they can buy what they want? A couple questions here.
Sure.
Gift cards for people, are they rather impersonal? Money for people in the family, is that impersonal?
Some people don't like to give cash or gift cards because they do think it's those are impersonal. Most people, especially teenagers, seem to love to receive cash gifts and gift cards. If you're giving a gift card, make sure that establishment is going to be, guess if they're going to be around, or find out if there's a limit, is it going to expire? Read the fine print. That's really important. And if you receive a gift card, I suggest using it right away instead of putting it away and thinking it might be good forever. But again, some people find out what you think that person would like, and you can sense if cash is something they wouldn't like. Picking out a specific gift certainly is a warm and personal thing to do. So you can't really go wrong unless you don't give thought to it.
Mm-hmm. And what about people who say they really don't want anything?
That's fine. And listen to them. Some people will say, well, I have everything. And in that case, sometimes they'll say, well, I'd love to give to a charity in your name. Do you have a favorite charity? Don't give to a charity that person doesn't believe in or like. So do a little investigation there, too. Or just say, okay, well, let's just get together. That would be really that would be a gift for me to get together with you and have lunch or dinner or a visit or whatever it is.
Right.
So it doesn't always have to be a thing. Right.
The gift, you're right. The gift of time is the most important. Going to have a meal with somebody is just in conversation.
Right, absolutely. Especially the elderly who really don't have, maybe they're living in a one room in a assisted living facility, or maybe they really have had to downsize and they still don't have room, or they just don't, they have everything. So an experience is wonderful. A visit is a gift in itself.
It is true. The older you get, the more you have, the more you don't need very much, isn't it?
It is true.
Yeah, it's very, very true.
Yes.
And let's go back to the giving something, giving to a charity in somebody's name. Do people really like that, or do they say, oh, thanks, you gave me a gift to a charity. I wanted a present.
It depends upon the person. Some people love it. Some just say what you said. I would think if somebody's going to give a gift of charity, they probably, hopefully, know that recipient and think that that's something they would appreciate. And I think in that case, then it's a great thing.
Yeah, and if more of us did that kind of thing, it would be a really great thing, wouldn't it?
Right. And I've seen people do that quite often in the last couple of years, and it really has been well received by.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, now is the time. What are some of the best gifts, Peggy, you ever gave?
I'd say, not to toot my horn, I'm not real crafty, but whenever I make something, I feel really good about it. And I think any homemade gift is really appreciated. Even one of our sons gave us a picture frame with little pieces of pasta and buttons pasted all over it when he was in second grade. we've treasured that for years. I made my older sister, who was 8 years older than I, back when she was in college and I was in grade school, I made her a book, cut out lots of Peanuts cartoons and put them all in a notebook. It's before Peanuts really was taking off and before there were bound copies of Peanuts cartoons, because she really loved them. And I know she really enjoyed it, and I loved making it. So any homemade gift is really good. Occasionally I will make bread and wrap it all up and try to make it pretty, but that takes time. So I think homemade gifts are really, really appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Scrapbooks are always nice for important years, aren't they?
Oh yes, and photo albums. I recently attended a wedding of a real good friend's son, and I took a lot of pictures without flashing the camera too much, but put them in an album before their professional photographer sent them pictures. So she appreciated having real pictures instead of pictures in the computer, and they all had a few to hold and look at. So photos are always a good gift.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to phone calls. We're talking about giving this hour of the program with Peggy Post, Emily Post's great-granddaughter-in-law. She writes a monthly column in Good Housekeeping magazine. She writes a biweekly online column in the New York Times on weddings, and she has written a number of etiquette books. Our number is 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. And if you'd like to leave some messages on our Facebook page, maybe you can write what the favorite gift you ever gave was, and then we'll get some good ideas, those of us who haven't finished our gift purchasing at this point in time. Let's go to phone calls, and starting with Valerie in Union Grove. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Two things. Last year, our family, because we are very scattered to the wind, but we're lucky enough to be able to all get together, we decided that we would everybody write a memory of the family, and we were all given an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, and do what you want with it, was what our instructions were. And we ended up with pictures, poems, stories, and things like that that we actually photocopied then, and all got a 3-ring binder of all of this stuff in regards to our family. And it was great. Rather than going around in a circle and everybody getting gifts, we all shared our memories. And it was fantastic.
It was one of the best
Christmases we've had in a long time.
This
year, what we've decided to do was, rather than, again, gifts, we all submitted recipes that are from each of our different families or great-grandparents and things like that, and we put together a cookbook.
You know how to do the holidays, I must say, right, Peggy?
I think we're going to have to copy your idea, Valerie, about writing memories of the family. I think that's a beautiful story.
Yes.
And the recipes are good, too. That's
yes.
Thank you. You can't
say too much about tradition, and all you have to do is have children in the family, even when they are adults themselves. And what do they want? They want tradition. They want the Margaret salad. They want a certain kind of food. They want things need to be repeated.
Right, right. In fact, that Valerie story reminds me of a friend of mine's her grandmother, who's 94, this past year wrote a whole story about her life and put it in notebook form and had it bound to give to all the family members. And I think they're going to really enjoy it. So anything like that is really great.
Mm-hmm. Eric in Madison writes, what about the service person, the mail deliverer, garbage collector? What if that person has changed and you have a new person? How can you make sure that your gift gets to the right person?
That's a tough one unless you call the establishment, such as the newspaper headquarters, and say, I'd really like to give something to so-and-so who delivered my paper for the last 8 months. Is there any way I can get a hold of him? They probably would not give out the address. They might give your address to that person to contact you, or they might pass along your gift. But then the new person, prorated, if you will, if you're pleased with that person, give the new person a gift.
We welcome more phone calls. Thank you, Valerie, so much for your call. It was great to start our callers with you. Our phone number, we're talking about gifts this hour of the program, and we're welcoming your phone calls. The best gift that you ever gave, if you have questions about appropriate giving, what about giving at the workplace, giving to people in your lives who are performing services for you, people who collect the garbage, mail, give you mail, newspapers, whatever, finding presents for people who are very difficult to give to, finding creative gifts, those are always important. The amount of money we spend on gifts, it takes in so much. So feel free to join our conversation. Many of you, I'm sure, are snowbound. We are not yet in Milwaukee. We have this weird thing going on. It looks like it's 3 a.m. and it's raining. But I know you've got a lot of snow in various parts of the state. So give us a call as you are snowbound and tell us about what you do when it comes to gifts. 800-486-8655 is our number, and lines are open for you. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The second hour of our program this Thursday, the 20th of December, Will Schwalbe will be joining us. Will has written a very tender book, The End of Your Life Book Club. It's become a bestseller. He worked in book publishing for some 21 years, so he really knows books. And his mother and Will, both avid readers who have a whole history of she reading books to him when he was a young child. When she was diagnosed with cancer in 2007, they formed what I guess you could call was a book club. It was a book club between Will and his mom. And this book, The End of Your Life Book Club, is about what they read and what conversations those readings led to. So that's hour two of our program. Peggy Post, Emily Post's great-granddaughter-in-law, is with us this hour of the program. She is the author of a number of books and is director of the Emily Post Institute, and we're talking about giving. Randy in Madison is our next caller. Hello, Randy.
Hey, good morning, folks. By the way, I think the folks who broadcast out of the Madison studios deserve a special shout-out. I think they had to do some sacrificing today.
Yeah, they did. How are things in Middleton? We're just in a weird part of the state with nothing right now. Is it bad?
Yeah, things have stopped. They don't even run the whole city of Madison is not running its buses. It's a lot of shutdown.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great that people in Madison made it to work today. It's the jobs are important.
Great. Apropos of what you were talking about earlier, I got a little piece of furniture from a fellow. And I wouldn't even call him a friend. It was an acquaintance. But it was just a very very nice, a nice little piece of furniture, kind of a footrest, but it was built. And the over the years, I've had to do a lot of moving. I've had to do a lot of discarding. That has always stayed, and I think I'll probably have it when I'm ready to leave. It meant that much. Now, at the risk of sounding Philistine, I get a lot of gifts that, you know, are packages or things like that, and I almost want to tell people, you know, I don't get as much enjoyment out of this as you probably paid for it, and I don't know how to do that. And at the same time, I will try to hint. We don't exchange, you know, Christmas lists anymore, but I would try to hint. There are some things that, boy, it'd be nice to have. And I just wonder if there's any general rules on how you can do that and how direct you can be.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Right. A lot depends upon the relationship with the person. If it's somebody you see all the time, one of your close family members, a spouse, a sibling, a parent, you can really be direct and say, you know, I would love to have such and such. You don't have to say from you, but just you mention what it is that you really would love to have. You could make a general statement sometime. Prepackaged gifts just don't seem as warm as something that somebody made himself or wrapped him or herself. Just speak throughout the year. If you want to cut back on exchanging gifts with people who on your list, be honest and say, you know, things are really tight, or I'm really simplifying. How about we get together this coming holiday instead of exchanging gifts? So depending upon who it is, just speak up and be honest. Be very tactful, of course, and sensitive to maybe that person really loves to give you a gift. So then cut back on your comments. But you can drop hints.
There is something to be said about giving, and sometimes it's hard. This has happened in my life where people will say they don't want anything, and it's such a wonderful thing to give a gift that you just can't help yourself. You just want to give somebody something.
I hear that a lot from grandparents. And something to be said about giving gifts across the board, but grandparents especially really like to give gifts, and sometimes young parents and new parents think they don't want to have an avalanche for their child. So a good compromise is spread it out throughout the year. But grandparents really do want to give gifts.
Thanks, Randy, so much for your call. Yeah. Sarah in Watertown, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say making sure that you're giving a gift that really is a gift and not a guilt to someone.
Good
if
point.
Someone can't afford something to give you what they'd really like to in this economy, making sure that you don't overblow their gift and that it's a guilt to them.
Peggy?
Right. I think you sincerely thank the person and then don't dwell on it. I think that's what you're saying, instead of reminding them that they really had to sacrifice. Be appreciative. Let them know you sincerely are thrilled to have that. If you're worried that they and a lot of us are. This is a tough time in the economy. So again, plan ahead and say, let's cut back this year. But there's that fine balance. If that person still wants to give you a gift, let them. If you can give them a chance to cut back if they'd like to or if they need to. So it depends. It just is on a one-to-one. Always be appreciative, and that's the key thing.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Sarah. We have another Sarah, Janesville. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. The best gift I ever got. On Christmas Eve, I had to spend it in the hospital because I had given birth to my second child. And my husband and my daughter were traveling to my parents an hour away, and they were having everyone, my brothers and sisters, in for the holidays. So I encouraged them to go because, you know, it was they'd have dinner and camaraderie. And so my husband very thoughtfully brought a bag in for me. And he said, after he'd been traveling for a half an hour, he called me, and I was kind of weeping, probably postpartum, I don't know. But he said, I brought something in that bag for you. And I reached down, and there was a tape recorder. And on the tape was, we had recorded our daughter when she was at our cottage with us talking, when she was real little. And there was, you know, memories of a conversation in the past, but it was so dear to me that night.
So that brought your rest of your family to you. That's really beautiful.
It was. It was a real special thing, and a kudos to a wonderful husband.
That's very something to be thankful for. And also today, with technology, some families are getting together for the holidays via video chats, Skype kind of set up, so they can see each other, too. And that's another gift.
Yeah, it sure together. Is. Thank you, Sarah, for your
Thank
call.
You.
Marsha on Facebook writes, what do you buy the elderly who truly do have everything and perhaps have little time left to enjoy what they get?
One thing to do is food that you know that they can like, it can eat and really like, really enjoy. I know one friend gives her elderly grandmother really beautiful hand cream that in the scent that the grandmother likes. The grandmother's eyes are pretty much gone. She can't see, but she can still smell. The elderly, if the person can still read, that's great. If their eyesight's gone, maybe a book on CD or tape. So match it up to what kind of experience that person might be able to enjoy. Maybe take the person to a restaurant if they're able to get out, if they're not housebound. Take them out to a concert, perhaps. Maybe an experience, or really importantly, as we mentioned earlier in the show, the gift of time, a visit is always special.
Kathleen in Lake Geneva, hi.
Hi, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I know kids typically wouldn't get excited about, you know, they make jokes about the, hello, you got a goat for Christmas donated to Heifer.
Right.
But I turned it into a book for my grandkids. There were eight of them, and they are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Okay. Yes.
And I turned it into like a 12-page book. I cut out the pictures from Heifer, but at this point, you could cut out, you know, things from online paste and everything, and put them into a book. And then I'd take them in and photocopy them and put them into a clear binder. And I made a whole story about they would be calling each other on the phone, and what do you think our grandmother's going to give us this year, you know, so that we can help these people. And then I'd have pictures of the people, you know, using what they got. And, like, this year they're getting trees and bees and chickens. And so I'll make this story, you know. And so it kind of makes a keepsake book for them, which the parents really love. And it really personalizes it to the kids and makes them a part of the gift, I think.
Oh, that's a very nice idea.
And you're bringing the charitable giving to life for the grandchildren.
Right.
Wonderful. That's
Write
a great
a story
idea.
About it for them.
Excellent.
What a great idea.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank you.
Kathleen. Lines are open for you if you'd like to join us. Our number is 800-486-8655. We're talking about giving this hour of the program with Peggy Post, who is Emily Post's great-granddaughter-in-law. She is the director of the Emily Post Institute and writes a monthly column in Good Housekeeping magazine. She also writes a biweekly online column in the New York Times on weddings, and she has written a number of books on etiquette. We're talking about the favorite gift, not necessarily you received, but you ever gave, and some of the complications that arise when it comes to giving, how much you should give, whether or not it's okay to not give, what about office giving, what about gifts that will be forever remembered. That's what everybody wants to do. Our number, 800-486-8655. Orson in Duluth. Hi, Orson.
Good morning, and Merry Christmas to both of you. A program that we were involved with for a number of years is through the Salvation Army here, and it's called Adopt a Family.
Great.
And you get a written outline of the family, their needs, whatever, so on and so forth. You can purchase these items and then have them delivered by the Salvation Army, or you can deliver them in person, which we have, and we have encountered, well, there was one lady whose home recently had been burned out. She had hardly anything. And my wife asked her if she could use some clothing. And she said yes, and she gave her a parka. She said, thank you very much, because I was watching my son at a hockey game, and all I had on was this little jersey. The next thing was giving a present that hopefully you will remember forever. I'm sending my two granddaughters to China for 3 weeks. So hopefully they will remember that.
I would think they might.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Orson, very much for the call. Eric in Madison. Hi, Eric.
Hi. I was thinking about when the woman mentioned giving to older people. I didn't do this for a Christmas gift, but my grandfather had lung cancer and came from a very, very poor background. One of the things that I wanted to do was get my grandparents' story down in writing so that I would remember it well and then pass it on to my kids and future generations. And, you know, it hit me, you know, that would have been a great Christmas gift, just spending time, you know, with someone that's older and getting their story straight and writing it down as a way to pass on their legacy. They were, the response I got from them at my want to do that was just really touching for me, and I think I enjoyed it as much as they did.
That's beautiful. That's really thoughtful.
It is indeed. Those stories we're hearing again and again from people, that it's the family traditions, it's preserving the stories of the family and passing it along to another generation. That's a gift that seems to be the best, huh? Thanks, Eric.
That's top of the list, yes.
It is on the top of the list so far this hour. Joy in Appleton, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to mention something that I had a blast with when I was younger. My mom ran a daycare, and through the years they would call me the reading lady, and I would come in and read stories to the children, and my niece loves my voice. So I took 1 year, 3 or 4 different books, and I recorded myself on tape. Kind of like you would read the books on tape, or you can buy for children that come prepackaged.
Right, right.
And I read the stories on tape, and I wrapped these 4 or 5 books, and I gave her those for Christmas along with some of the babysitting children. And she still has those to this day. She's a teenager now, but it went over just like a hoot, and my brother-in-law said, you know, how come you can't make one of those for me? but it was cute.
That's, that's very nice. That's great.
Thank you, Joy.
Hopefully someone else will benefit from that, and maybe if they don't have a lot of money, it's a very inexpensive way. You can even get a book at the St. Vincent de Paul or something like that to share with the child.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. And let's talk a little bit about money, Peggy, because some people really are very extravagant at Christmas, and you can't reciprocate with their extravagance, and there may be something to be said for never being all that extravagant with gift giving. How do you handle disparity in what the size of the present is, the cost of the present, et cetera?
Well, you really don't have to reciprocate in kind at all. As long as if you are exchanging gifts with someone, do what makes sense. Do what's within your budget. You might make something, even if someone gives you a designer leather pocket purse. So you do not have to reciprocate in kind. Most people try to reciprocate if they do receive a gift, but that brings up the question, what do you do if somebody surprises you with a gift and you don't have one for him or her? Maybe it's a new friend or a new coworker you've gotten very close to, and that's very awkward. You have a couple of choices. One, you may simply say, oh, thank you so much, you really shouldn't have, and maybe do something else. Maybe take that person to lunch. You don't have to do a real gift. Or maybe just thank them and leave it at that, and they'll realize that you can't or aren't reciprocating. Or you can say, I don't have your gift yet. Or as I think you mentioned, your mother had some extra gifts around all the time. Have one of your extra gifts ready, hopefully to match up to giving to that person. But back to your basic question of someone gives you an extravagant gift, you certainly don't have to do the same. You do what is within your means that makes sense. It's representative of you, and you think it's something that the person would like. You might even make something for them.
Do people actually, I'm always struck, I don't know why, by these car commercials on television at Christmas where you got this Cadillac in front of this mansion that has a big red bow on it and everybody,
right.
Oh, I got a Cadillac for Christmas.
Right.
Do people actually do that? I've always wondered why they advertise that.
I have heard of the car with the big red bow being given to a graduate from college. And I'm sure people do give, if they're going to be giving a car, usually to a child or a grandchild. I can't answer that question. I don't know how many people
right.
give houses or cars. I know quite a few people will give a gift of an experience such as a trip, like the trip to China we just heard
right.
about. So I can't answer that. Maybe car manufacturers can answer.
You've never given that as a gift, nor
no,
have I.
I
right.
haven't been given cars or houses. Or
We welcome more phone calls in just a moment. Peggy Post is our guest this hour, and we're talking about all that is entailed in gift giving, and it turns out there's a lot. Giving gifts to people we don't know, giving gifts to family members, giving gifts to people who don't need gifts, giving gifts that are truly meaningful, which is what we're all striving for, really, isn't it? Oh, what a wonderful present. I'll remember it forever. 800-486-8655 is our number, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. And if you'd like to leave a message for us on our Facebook page about giving, we might just get some ideas from you, which would be great. And that's the Kathleen Dent Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program, we'll be speaking with Will Schwalbe, who's author of the bestseller, The End of Your Life Book Club. Peggy Post is here now, director of the Emily Post Institute and author of more than a dozen etiquette books. She also writes a monthly column for Good Housekeeping, and she writes a wedding guide online for the New York Times. 800-486-8655. Annie in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi, I just have some suggestions. We are grandparents of seven. We have four kids and their mates. And in the past years, some of them were laid off. It was difficult to buy gifts, for them to buy gifts. And we started a white elephant Christmas or a dollar store Christmas where everybody put their gifts in the middle of a floor. We handed out cards. People got to pick. The stuff was hysterically funny or very touching. And it was fun. And if they brought friends or somebody who was alone for the day, that person was included and they got a gift. It is wonderful. We've now done it for 5 years, and we will do it forever because it is what Christmas is about.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And for the families, if you buy a gift like the zoo pass with parking, we have one daughter and her son and husband use it like 15 times a year. It just keeps repeating and repeating as far as what they're giving. And it's that way you can give a little more to charity, a giving tree at church, and pick up a name tag with somebody who needs something, and you go out and shop for that person, and we encourage our kids to do that, too.
Those are great ideas. Excellent.
Thank you so much, Annie,
for
your call. Tim in Appleton writes, there's a Joan Baez song that says, I bought you cufflinks, you got me something, means that what you gave is more memorable than what you received.
There you go. That's very true.
It is true, isn't it?
Right. Another question, or the question about what to give to a grandparent or the elderly, if the person is still going out, getting out, also the zoo pass reminded me of a theater pass and giving a series of movies to somebody. That can be appreciated, especially by a grandparent.
Yes, And the song is Diamonds and Rust. For those of you who want to go listen to that, Joan Baez. So.
That's great. That's good.
Maureen and Barron, hi.
Good morning. I liked your discussion about the car with the bow around it, and I was going to say that I know on two occasions my favorite uncle gave my favorite aunt cars for Christmas. Both times they were Cadillacs.
Really?
But to me, I think the best gifts are the simplest, and I received a very thoughtful, simple gift this morning from my beautiful daughter-in-law. She brought me a 50-pound bag of black oil sunflower seeds so I can feed my birds this winter. I just thought that was so sweet, unexpected, and like I said, the simple gifts are the best.
That's so true. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Thanks, Maureen, for the call. Joe in Madison. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I just want to say that subscriptions to certain things like Beer of the Month clubs or Cigar of the Month clubs, basically, those are often really good, as well as things like memberships to like the Brewers Association and things like that. Things that you get newsletters and basically discounts to various events that you might be interested in throughout the year.
That's good. That's great.
Yeah, are there many of those? I know they were popular in the past, but I kind of forgot about those fruit, you know, oranges of the month.
Right.
Do a lot of places do that?
There's still some of those around, and those are appreciated too. Definitely. One thing I wanted to mention too is about children and gift giving. I think it's really important that we all remember we're setting an example for our children, and getting that excitement going is so terrific, and getting them involved in selecting a gift for somebody else is terrific, and also teaching them the life skills of what does your child do when he or she receives a gift that A, he might already have, or B, just doesn't really like.
Yes.
And kids are so beautifully honest that they'll say, I don't like this truck or whatever. Try to teach them ahead of time to say, you can always find something nice to say that is truthful. I really love playing with trucks or whatever. And you can deal with what to do later with the child if you exchange it or whatever. But to always remember to be appreciative and not to hurt the gift giver's feelings. So it's a good life lesson.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Joe, for your call. Natalie, at first I thought it said the North Pole, but you're not there. You're at North Prairie, Natalie.
What's that?
You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. Sure. I wanted to share two things. My kindergartner, her art teacher posts art on a website, but I also take pictures of the artwork. And she made a beautiful, stunning picture of two cardinals sitting on a little branch with snow. And everyone has loved it. And so I've taken my picture to Walmart and turned it into a mug. And I also made some prints. And it says, you know, artwork by her name. And that's some of the gifts that we're going to give to family members. We're traveling. And she feels really special and like she's made something that's meaningful to others. And I also wanted to mention, I've been in administration for several years in the school system, and at the schools where I've worked, I have a recipe, my granny's iced tea, and just a couple of years ago, I found out maybe she tweaked it a little bit, but it's really Russian tea, but it's always going to be granny's iced tea. So I find specific mugs for the staff, maybe their dog, or something that's meaningful, and then I make the tea and attach the recipe, and that always, they have always loved me sharing that with them.
That's a wonderful idea. Great.
Very nice. How are things in North Prairie? Do you have cardinals on your snowy tree?
We did see one cardinal, which was really fun, but yeah, it's very, very snowy. The weather's getting a little intense out here, but it's very nice and beautiful.
Okay, thank you. We're getting huge storms everywhere but Milwaukee today, Peggy, so that's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
What part of the country are you in?
Well, I hate to confess, but I happen to be in South Florida right now, but the Emily Post Institute is in Vermont, so I've had many, many wintry Decembers and Christmas times, and it can be beautiful and also a lot of
challenge.
Right, travel so, particularly.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Thank you, Natalie, so much for the call. Ken in Milwaukee, hi.
Good morning. I have a question regarding the presentation of gifts.
Right.
I know that my mother, who is very artistic, and used to be a kindergarten teacher, used to make up the wrapping of gifts. It was very creative. One time she took a box and made it into a policeman. And I gave a friend a hockey stick, and she decorated it as a giraffe. We didn't want to open the thing.
Oh, that's great.
It was very memorable, but how do you find as far as those types of things as a presentation goes?
Well, people always say it's really important to have a good presentation and to make a beautiful package. I'm not at all artistic like your mother, so I try to say do the best you can, and sometimes just the funniest looking little bow from your child is as beautiful as that giraffe. Try to make it look like you've given some thought to it, but not everybody is as artistic. A lot of gifts come professionally wrapped. I know in Vermont, like Champlain Chocolates has some beautiful gift wraps. So, but the personal touches are always good. Try to do something, but not everybody can do it as beautifully as others.
It's hard to make a giraffe out of a hockey stick for most of us.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it is. Thanks, Ken, for the call.
I will add, Ken, that I have camouflaged some gifts for my husband. So I get a big box for something really small. That's a fun thing to do. The camouflage of the hockey stick you mentioned is always a good idea.
Myrna in De Pere, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I try to give the gift of service. Last year, my son that lives in Virginia, he had an antique chair that was caned, and the caning was falling apart. So I caned the chair for him. I brought the chair back to Wisconsin, caned it, and sent it back to him. This year, I did some gardening while I was there and purchased shrubs.
Nice.
For my daughter and son-in-law. This year, they're going on a trip, and I'm going to animal sit for them. They have numerous animals. And while they're gone, I'm going to wash the windows, clean the silverware drawers, do all the things.
Oh, you're wonderful.
That you don't have time to do when you're a young mother.
gift of service and gift of time, those you can't beat those.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So that's my gift.
Thank you, Myrna.
Great. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Cam in Madison, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to talk about a little bit. I worked for several years in Beverly Hills for a renowned entertainment attorney, and of course at Christmas it really got lavish and kind of crazy with what they gave each other. But my favorite gift was when Fannie Flagg, the writer, gave the gift of a huge contribution to a lot of the animal shelters, and she said, anyone that wants an animal, please, please don't go buy one. Go to the animal shelter, call me. And so I called her, and I found this wonderful Pomeranian.
Aww.
And
she
graced our home for many Christmases.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much
for
the call. I know people say be careful about giving animals, but I've received animals at Christmas time, and I've given animals at Christmas time, too. And if it's done right,
exactly.
There's nothing better, if you ask me.
Right. Well, that's, again, finding out what the person might like and do some homework first.
Right.
Right.
The other thing, and we'll talk about this at great length during the second hour of our program today, but I don't think you can go wrong with books, because it's easy to know what people like and to find something that will be important, an important reading experience, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone who likes to read is always happy to receive a book.
Right.
Yes.
Well, Peggy, thank you ever so much.
Wow.
Your holidays will be in Florida then? Is that weird?
They will.
Is that weird for somebody who is from the East?
Not really. My father-in-law is here, and so we make it festive.
Uh-huh.
And your show just went so fast, Kathleen. Thank you so much. Really
thank you.
Enjoyed all these wonderful ideas.
It's a good audience.
Yeah,
they're gifts, aren't they, to the
absolutely
airwaves? They
that
really are.
Well,
Well, you have a great Christmas.
Thank you, Peggy.
Okay,
you as well.
Thank you so much.
Peggy Post, our guest this hour, as we talk about giving. And if you didn't get on the air, please leave us messages because we can all get ideas. And as I said at the beginning of the show, it's a good week to remember that there is good in the world as well. And so you can write about what you've given and give all of us some ideas. That's a good gift. Peggy Post is Emily Post's great-granddaughter-in-law, and she is the director of the Emily Post Institute and the author of a number of etiquette books. She also writes a column for Good Housekeeping, and she writes a biweekly online column for the New York Times. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Brett Jaspers, who produced this program. And thanks for all of your calls. You were great this morning. You always are. Please stay tuned for the next hour. I think you'll find it inspirational, which is on end-of-life books.